Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, August 30, 2008. Wow, we've surpassed we're in our fourth year here now. Anyway, we had Sean Ray on yesterday, a very good friend of mine and a very good friend of the earth. He's a great healing guy. He actually goes all over the world and does wonderful things for people, makes documentaries, and is a great singer. And he's worked with our country's government in a good way, and he's a person from the Far East that loves America. He became an American citizen, gave up his citizenship over there, and he is a son of a king of one of the Pashtuns in Pakistan. That's pretty honorable. Anyway, today we're going to continue on with a seminar series, and I hope you enjoy it. So, and next week we're going to have a guy from Canada that's we're going to be talking about growing fuel for your car. People are setting up distilleries all around now and growing their gasoline at home. That'll be another subject. So anyway, let's start off with Dr. Bell here. Are you there, Dr. Bell?
Why?
There you are! Wow. Wow.
This power supply has to be taken care of. Okay? And realize that everything I'm explaining to you now, and everything that I have explained to you now, there are certain people in world orders that know this knowledge as I know it, as you're learning it. They know it better than you. Some of them know it almost as well as I do. And they're using this knowledge to kill you, to destroy you, to remove you from the surface of the earth. Okay? So the first area that we need to look at is the brain. When we have the atomic explosion over in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, a lot of the people were very close to ground zero where the bomb went off and had no permanent damage genetically from the radiation. Other people were 30 miles away and had severe reactions to the radiation. So why could people be up close and get really nuked and people and have no reaction and people farther away? Does anybody know?
The brain.
The brain, exactly. The brain and the people that were shielded from the radiation, naturally, had large amounts of electrolytes in their body. Electrolytes are coming from herbs, both high ginseng and gota cola. Okay? It's very important in this time to take huge amounts of those herbs in your body. Okay? And our mineral formulas and our vitamin formulas both.
That's why people like the shawootsy that I show on my show on the TV site every night on Friday night.
When you have them in there, the brain has an ample amount of electricity to generate these different vibratory frequencies. If this water wheel is turning over real slow, north, south, you've got a 60-cycle positive, 60-cycle negative wave going. Okay? You've got a wave of protons, a wave of electrons, pushing and pulling at 60 cycles. If you get this thing turning so damn fast that you can't hardly see it anymore and hook it across the speaker, you've got physical sound. Because the magnet can be hooked to a piece of cardboard, and that magnet will move back and forth because of that attractive force of the other magnet transmitting the energy through the wire. This vibration will create sound waves in the air, and you'll have audible sound. Okay? When you perceive audible sound, you have a diaphragm in your ear that works exactly the same way. It's a physical organ that's hooked to a nerve bundle that moves across an internal magnet, which creates a sound in your brain. Okay? If you start bringing this up in speed and vibration to very high speeds, you start approaching a wavelength that's so short now that it becomes radiation. It will shoot out when you have radiation, okay? Radiation like microwave, like x-rays, like gamma waves, okay? This radiation can be harmful to the body or it can be destructive to the body. The harmful radiation creates a chemical effect called free radicals when it becomes harmful. And free radicals create all forms of disease as we know them, okay? Excessive electrons. If we go faster and faster with the vibratory frequency, we move up into visible light. The radiation is so great that we have now stricken the astral plane, and we've asked the astral plane to release photons, visible light, down on the physical plane. Okay? And so it's understanding and making the brain function on all these levels that makes consciousness possible and all the different things that we do possible. The idea of the paradigm nutritional systems, mental systems, the receptors and the pyramids weren't on the head, and personal things that you carry is what we call component technology. We'll cover that, of course, today. When we go further beyond components, we start taking components and hooking them together, we end up with systems technology. When we get into systems technology, we're taking a human form, we're aligning it with the universe, and we're freeing it up in space and time. Okay? Has anybody got any questions on where we're going?
You mentioned something about organizations or people that would use this technology to hurt us. What's the purpose?
The purpose is control. There is a certain group that has a lot of dharma on them, enough to get rid of their pearls of wisdom, and so they try to control. These people are not free of the ring pass knot, but if they could steal a spaceship and get the hell out of here, they would, but they can't. But they don't know that. So these are your secret governments, your Trilats, Majestic 12, that Club of Rome, Skull and Bones, and the Initiates and College, all these groups, okay?
Are they aware that they're aware?
They know where they're at. Yeah. I've been through all these organizations in this lifetime. I've met and known all these people in all these groups. And they all know, have known and met me. And we have a powerful interchange. This goes on as we speak. But they know where they're at and they know where I'm at.
How many are there? Like, of the percentage of the population, how many people
would be? There's 25 families controlling the entire earth.
Basically, they would fall into that.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example.
Have you written anything on that? That's it.
There's plenty of stuff written on it.
It's oh, I know. Everybody else is. I asked if you did.
Yeah, a little bit. It's in my page here. There. The Rothschild family broke up. This is power, okay? The Rothschild family broke up. Okay? Margaret Habsburg, who was an intellect friend of mine, inherited 1/12 of the Rothschild estate, okay? How much money was that? How much did she get? Take a guess. One individual, how much money did she get?
Probably a couple billion.
What's the national debt?
$4 trillion.
$4.3 trillion. Well, she got, Margaret got 4.2. That's power.
Yeah, I believe that.
Can you imagine that?
Because the truly wealthy never reveal themselves to the public.
No, 4.3. Yeah, she got 4.2.
I heard that they were, that they have these
retransmedia
now that could actually control your RNA and DNA and make you become violent.
Oh, sure, that's been going on for years. Hitler had that. God, that's what Megalite was all about. Just Megalite. Yeah, that's a little knowledge. But, yeah.
But how is it that you've interacted with all these different groups?
Yeah. By being who I am. It's natural.
Well, I mean, how does that occur? They approach you in seminars, or do you approach them?
I never. They always come to me. I don't look at them. I said I was born and raised with them, so what can you do? No.
Did it threaten you?
No. Margaret Habsburg, her husband, I'll give you a direct shot of this now if you want the Habsburgs. Margaret Habsburg had a husband. He died. They lived in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Okay? Margaret had her own money. She hadn't inherited the Rothschild money yet. Okay, now, believe me, the $4.3 trillion doesn't come to the U.S. She's only allowed to bring X number of million dollars in this country a month. Okay, the most flamboyant thing that Margaret has been able to pull off so far is her family owns most of the cathedrals in Europe, you know, and buildings. And so she has brought, or began to bring, a $1 billion church Palm Springs, where she lives part-time. That's about as much as she can do. Because government in no way let her bring that money here. If you talk about giving Alan Greenspan a heart attack, which he definitely needs, I mean, it would really screw up the Federal Reserve, which is another private bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the users of this technology is James Anthony. James Anthony is a an inventor who lives in Los Angeles, who was Margaret's husband's partner. James and I are very close. That's why I know the Habsburg family. When Margaret was living in Los Alamos with her husband, who was also a scientist,
they had some people living in the house with them, because they had a big compound. They had four little grays living with them. Four grays in their house. And their house was guarded by the CIA. Okay. When her husband died, the little grays, of course, were removed, and she moved out of there, and she's scared to death, because she knew where they were from Beta Reticuli, too, or three, rather, okay? So they're here, these were house guests. That's where these people come from. So yes, they know. Those grays taught her husband a lot of stuff. We lived in the house together, okay? Just to understand what a part of society is about, that you just, you know, as average, you know, people like out here, like me, you know, we don't see that. I happen to see it because I'm supposed to see it. And so, and I'm always, always, because I was in the, you know, when I was, well, he, my cousin back here, he can tell you what was my name when I was a kid.
Billy.
Yeah, because my name was Bill, right? He knew me as Billy when we lived together in Orchard Park, New York. And he used to visit his parents out there. But my mother, you know, was approached by the CIA when I was 16 years old. And even Frankenbell's jaw dropped one day because my mother was sitting there with this little old lady with gray hair sitting in my kitchen, and she's heard me tell the story. But here's my mother saying, well, you know, didn't she? She floored you, didn't she? You know, you never thought, you thought I made that up or something.
No, I didn't.
But I mean, the reality strikes when somebody's mother says, well, you know, Frompton, he used to be Bill, but this two government guys came to my house and they said, his name isn't Bill anymore, it's Fred now. You know, so it happened, you know. I was involved. I was involved in projects that I could talk about, but, you know, I'd have to kill you after you heard it. That's what the CIA, that's their favorite expression. I hear that from those guys all the time. But anyway, I was involved in a lot of shit, let me tell you, all through my entire life, until I got fed up with it all. And then the Pleiadians came. So, as a result of that, you know, life has been a little bit wild. Now, the next thing I want to bring out, the next point that I want to bring out, is what's called divine intervention, okay? Because this is another thing we've got to look at here. If we take all these auras that we've talked about and put them on the earth, right? All these aura fields. All the humans, right? Remember how we talked about each person, bigger aura fields? So we end up with an aura field around the earth, don't we? Of all the humanity. We have, first of all, the aura field of the room from us. We have the aura field of the... do that door open.
I just brought that little heater again because I thought it was really cold.
Are you guys cold?
Yeah, I'm cold, right?
I know what I'll do. I'm going to open this window up here. It's stuffy in here. I just want a little air.
Yeah, but that's too much.
Always stuffy in here. Let me get that window open for me. And these pens really get me after a while.
There's some more.
Huh? Okay, so anyway, you have all the people on the earth, okay? But now there's two types of people out here. Here's a person that's, their chakras, their spirit and matter combination is positive. Yeah, that's great, thanks. And they're making a contribution. The divine will is working through the spirit's working through the form, and they're harmonious with nature, okay? This would be a somewhat health-conscious, caring person, right? Then we have another person over here that all he wants to do is go out and conquer with a knife or a gun or war, okay? So we got the peace person here, and we got the warmonger, right? You have basically salt and pepper here. We'll call that salt and pepper, okay? Now, which do you think controls the earth's aura field? The salt or the pepper?
A combination of both?
No.
Pepper.
The bad guy, the pepper, exactly. The earth's aura field is controlled by the pepper. And just have Bee got, you know, probably these peppers, there are 9 billion people being influenced right now, which is most of the society, most of humanity. So the salt people over here, they don't really register. It's not really a whole lot they're doing right now. Okay? Not much at all.
Why is the pepper in control?
Because we're coming through the backside of the
Pleiades, and it's their time. You know, it's the time for all the shit to hit. You know, without the shit, you can't have the light. You know, it's important. You got to have the shade. So it's important. This is natural. It always goes on everywhere. It's part of creation. It's always been this way. And if you can imagine, this is forever. So don't worry about it. It's just where it's at. Okay, but now we've reached the time. We've got a lot of pressure on the physical universe. Okay, here we got the sun over here, right? Putting out its, you know, its prana and its vitality glove, its life force. And then we got Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Neptune, Jupiter, all the way up, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, all those. Okay? Now, what's the difference? You know, if you've got a human being with chakras in them, right? Forces are going through there. We discussed all that earlier, so we have an understanding about that now, right? What's the difference between the kundalini force of that and the sun? Why can't the sun have a kundalini force which is a combination of the serpent and the solar fire? If the sun is the solar fire and this is the serpent fire, obviously, it has to get here, it has to go back, there's an exchange, boom, there's a lot of planets drawn in here, right? So there's a huge interaction between all these planets. Okay? Now, the sun and these planets moving through the clock here, through the whole cosmos and the Pleiades, right? So now we got the interaction of serpent fire, solar fire, going through cosmic fire, as they call it in the cosmic treaty on cosmic fire. Now it's daily called the cosmic fire. So boom, we got all these different other stellar influences coming into play now. That before wasn't so critical because we were on the dark side of the Pleiades, now we're on the light side. Okay? Some people call this phenomenon the photon belt, which is one way of expressing it, however you want to call it. Okay? So now let's look at this. We see this mechanism happening, but if you look at the watch, it's supposed to be a watch, right? And you look at the watch, and over here you got, let's say Alpha Centauri, one of our 4.5, or Proxima Centauri, 4.5 light years from here. Say there's some planets and stuff there. But their humanity is harmonious. But they're cool. Ours is a problem. Okay, here's the deal. We got a bad force here. This kundalini force is, if we ask the Earth to stand up, it's not going to turn to the right. The Earth's going to turn to the left. It's going to create a lot of ripples, right? So the Earth is screwing up the whole goddamn works through here. It's an absolute thorn in the solar presence, in the planetary. This is all screwed up because of these idiots that are running it right now. Now, it wasn't so bad when say, 8 billion of them were up on the astral plane 300 years ago. Okay? Society was a bit sparse. Because you didn't have all that pressure on the Earth. Okay? It didn't really matter what you had here. The Earth was floating, and the astral plane wasn't a given because we weren't in a time when these pressures would collide. Okay? But now when you get all the physical down here, you start creating all, you're pumping up this etheric field, boom, you've got a big astral pressure. A huge astral pressure. Because all the astral pressure is coming from where? Physical plane. That's where everybody's at. You see what I mean? In other words, you got to have your foot on the ground and your head in the heavens to be God. Okay? 300 years ago, there weren't enough feet on the ground. There was a lot of head in the heavens, but there wasn't no feet on the ground. So if the shit was going on up there, but not much going on down here. You get the picture. Okay? Everybody understands. It's very important you understand this. Okay? So now, first things start to happen. Well, Nostradamus looked into this, and he said, well, I understand this 25,000 year cycle. I'll just whip up some quartrains here, and I'll show them how, you know, I'll show them how it's been in the past when this wasn't dealt with properly. So you have his quartrains, which are fine. First thing that happens is planetary pressure starts to build up. What's called the Jupiter effect takes place, where there's a certain alignment. Pressure, big bad pressure, comes from all these 9 billion souls directly down on the sun. Boom. Comes down on the sun. Sun really hates this and says it starts belching, and this, when it belches, it creates what's called solar flares. Big solar flares start belching, okay? This usually happens in the fall, about now, usually a little earlier than now. It also happens in the summer, but usually during a full moon period, okay? The moon is usually the final catalyst. Boom, these pressures come up, and now you get what's called a solar wind.
solar wind starts blowing back here. Boom! Solar wind. Solar wind hits man's aura, and he becomes the most irritable bastard there is. Wars start, people hate each other, fights, murders, all this stuff occurs, right? Boom. More energy feeds back, builds up a little bit more. Heavy energy comes out of the sun, bigger solar flares, and we start rocking and rolling. Earthquakes. This is where earthquakes come from. Man creates earthquakes. Okay? That's one. Now, secondly, man amplifies the effect of earthquakes. A long time ago, many revolutions around the Pleiades ago, we had dinosaurs. And when the dinosaurs died and the vegetation, we had huge, giant plants died, they made an oil zone. This was all compressed down in the oil. So we had an oil zone. The oil zone, basically, you take the plates of the earth, top and surface, okay, and you take the molten core, okay, of the earth. There's a tension here. Number one, the heat of the earth comes from the density of the astral plane, the haze. That's where heat comes from, expression down on that level. It's called serpent fire, another form of serpent fire. And the energies themselves are called salamanders. And there's a pressure up between this hot core and this surface up here. So the oil naturally acted as a great lubricant to stabilize the core of the earth versus the surface. In the very beginning of time, when people or humanity was here millions of years ago, this stabilization hadn't taken place. And you had a lot of natural earthquakes. And as a result, these earth changes, in those days you see big cities and Bimini Islands underwater, stuff like that. But by now it should have been stabilized. But man has not only removed the oil and polluted the atmosphere, but he has created, you know, a huge population of negative beings which are in direct conflict with the natural solar laws, which are then getting into the stellar laws. So you can see the ETs have to come and do something, right? This has to be done. This is called divine intervention, and it's already started. It's not about to start. It's very much in place and very active.
One question. How does that relate to the nine planets that are supposed to be in alignment in the year 2000, in May 18th or 22nd?
What you call a focusing of the Jupiter effect.
Yes. What happens then?
Well, it depends on what happens now, how we're prepared for that. It could be a little bit disruptive, or it could be totally harmonious. Either one.
If all those planets line up, it could still be harmonious.
Oh, yeah. It would be wonderful. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But we have to get rid of the growth-resistant generation, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, here is time. Here is the Earth moving through space. And this is the present. And this is time as we know it. Okay? The fore part of time, this exact moment, where we're at here, could be expressed as a leading point of a comet. Okay? So the horizon of events is right here, like that. Lift as a seagull. These lifts are real old. Now, that's the horizon of time, okay? Now, what happens if you build a time machine and you go back here to 1938, okay? Back here, and you assassinate Hitler. What happens to World War II?
Never happened.
No, nothing happens to World War II. It still exists. Why? Because only one individual, you know, one human went back here into this time, which is an echo, and made a little change, and that change might have fell up to about here, and it just faded away in the annals of time again. Okay? So you don't really manipulate the past to change the present. That doesn't work. Okay? To talk about some point, I could use an eraser. One of the things that the Andromedans did in 1991 was, now before I explain what they did, let me explain who they are, okay? Pleiadians are an Earth group of people that have come and gone from this planet. They didn't originate here. They've been here many times. Pleiadians come down and work through people like Sheridan McLean or Robert Messeniak or myself or Billy Meyer. Through channeling or physical contacts, depending on how much energy that person can contain and express. And so the Pleiadians come and they work at a certain point when the Earth is coming up on their horizon. In other words, the sun is starting to rise, meaning the Earth and the planets on their horizon, their event horizon. Okay? So the Pleiadians come and they teach us stuff and they show us stuff. They don't do a damn thing. They do nothing. Why do they do nothing? It's because Pleiadians also know about Dharma. Pleiadians are human. They're not bi-dimensional beings. They're three-dimensional like we are. They spend more time on the astral plane because of their transition between space and time, between moving around in the universe. But they're basically humans with a longer lifespan, which we'll have eventually anyway when we teach our DNA how to accept that again. So they come and they teach us and then they leave. Because if they were to get involved, they'd get caught up in our dharma, in their dharma, and what would happen? They'd be back at war again. They'd go right back to war. Some point in the future, they'd be interplay, and there would be a war between them and us, or something would happen somewhere. So they'd go away. Okay? Andromedans are like the highway patrol. Andromeda lives 5,000 years. If you look took a picture of a Semyasi and a Polaroid camera, see a picture of a human-looking person. If you took a picture of an Andromeda like Liara or Leia, which was another one that was here, she would look like a cocoon of light. They look like a big cocoon with a head blob on it. No features. Because the Andromedans are infinite in creation and they only reconstruct themselves in 2 or 3 minutes every 5,000 years. They make a feature change and boom, they go on again. So they pretty much don't die. They're eternally all the time happening. Yet they are physical and they are multidimensional. They can fool around with stuff. They're not too concerned about it because they're not going anywhere. They deal with their dharma instantaneously. They don't have any. And they create other people's karma and they can uncreate other people's karma. They're not gods. They have no more understanding of God probably than we do. They just have a greater acceptance of something beyond and a little bit more knowledge of the mechanics. But they don't know any more about infinity than we do. They just know it exists and always has. Okay? It's real interesting when you get up the chain. So in 1991, in October, they came here and they showed me, some of you can, maybe at the house I'll show you what happened, but we're living in Laguna Beach. I'm writing another book called Birth and New Beginning. The Laguna Beach is an old volcano here. We're going to be on it tonight. This volcano shaft goes down to the center of the earth, the core. Okay? It terminates in three mountain ranges. The first mountain range is called Top of the World. The second mountain range is where I live, which is called Arch Beach Heights. And the third one is just past Arch Beach Heights, which is partially known as South Laguna. If you go down into where we used to do our seminars, if you drive down to where it says Ben Brown's Restaurant, those of you that are out of town, and turn into Ben Brown's Restaurant and go up the Aliso Creek till you reach Ben Brown's, park your car at Ben Brown's Restaurant, it's also a golf course, walk down onto the golf green, and you'll see that you're inside of a volcano. You can see all the way around except the entryway of the site, and you're in the actual place where the lava came out, okay? Mm-hmm. Right above that is where all the Pleiadians. The Pleiadians always came and hovered their ships over that volcano. They always picked that volcano for communications. And I always stood on the hill. Volcanoes down here, I always stood on the hill. Look, overlooks that. Makes contact with Semyasi. Most of the contacts were here in Laguna. The Andromedans are focusing on a hill up on top where we live. Because our house is physically located on top of a volcano, and this vortex is linked to all the vortexes in the world. The ones in Sedona, the ones in Greece, Russia, South America, Peru. They're all linked to the core of the Earth. In our systems, in our systems technology, we have in the bottom of the radiator pieces or samples of vortexes that have been brought and gathered from all over the world that we physically brought in. So as a result, when the Andromedans make the manipulation, some of the manipulations they make are through this vortex here. I'm sure there's other contactees. I know of one that's in the Whole Life Expo that's on the UFO panels that's also being worked with like I am. We're doing two different things, but when we connect, it's totally identical. I mean, we're both totally insane, and our insanity agrees, you know. So that's, and you'll feel the vortex tonight.
Insanity is insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
I know, I love it. So, they came, and what they did, first thing they did anyway, I was aware of, was they changed the course of human events. They intervened in time. And what they did, they didn't say what they did. I just saw how they did it and it scared the hell out of me. I could only describe it at the house where I could see where it happened. And they said that they took out a lot of historical things that we would think we know about. And they erased them completely. And they injected other events into our history that we don't even know about. And so probably when they did this, if we were to go back into our history books, we would probably have a different understanding of our history books now than we did when we were kids reading them, because they don't even exist the same. There have been changes made. Okay, I know there was a lot of healing done in relationship to the Holocaust. I know that for a fact. Okay, but beyond that, they haven't said much, because they said it doesn't really make any difference right now anyway. But that's the first thing they did. So they zapped the whole Earth and the whole solar system at once. Okay. Second thing they did, this started in 1993, I think it was. Yeah, because this is 94, almost 95. Right, and this was in September. It was real interesting because of January 18th of this year, exactly at 4:31, they came to me 2 hours before 4:30, was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I called a bunch of my friends up on January 18th, the night of January 18th, for the morning of it. Told them the Andromedans were going to do something major tonight. I didn't know quite what it was. And the next thing they had me doing is, in my house up there, they had me take a lot of artifacts, delicate things off of counters and stuff, and put them on the floor. And then they made me take a speaker system, which had some really delicate things, completely out of my living room and put it in the garage. And then they had me go in and wake her up and take one of those dorgy things that we've got there and start working on her back. And then every time they wake me up about 20 after 4, right? I woke her up, 4:20 in the morning, I wake her up, jam this thing, throw the life flat on her face and start sticking this thing in her back, working on her. After I've taken all the stuff off the shelves in the house, and exactly at 4:31, what happened? The whole house was rocking and rolling, wasn't it? So I guess I was getting her ready for it, and nothing broke, because everything was on the floor. So, I mean, this is how tuned in we are sometimes. But anyhow, in 1993, Liara came and said, they're going to shift the Earth's etheric field 4 degrees. And they're going to shift it a half a degree per year. So that by the time the year 2000 comes, it will have shifted exactly 4 degrees. Now, does anybody know what that means? How that relates to you? Here's how it relates to you. At night when you go to sleep, okay, you have a north pole and a south pole, right? So at night when you go to sleep, the Earth's magnetic field, frankly, it should be thrown this way, it's like this. True north is 16 degrees off magnetic north in the northern hemisphere. Magnetic north is this way, okay?
Now, what direction do you sleep in at night
when you go to sleep? How are you told to go to sleep and go to bed? Which way?
East,
north, and south, right? Do you know why you're told to sleep north and south? Okay? The Tibetans call it the anima mundi. Okay? The anima mundi. Okay? That's a life force. Okay? Comes from the earth. It comes, this is one magnetic field of energy right here, going to the north, right? Directly perpendicular to this is the anima mundi. Okay? So when you go to sleep at night, what happens is, you're laying in bed, you're sleeping here. Your first thing is, you overcome gravity. Gravity's not working on you anymore, right? When gravity doesn't work on you anymore, your spine decompresses. No more pressure on the spine, right? If there's no more pressure on the spine, it relaxes the nerve bundles. When the nerve bundles relax, boom, the magnetic aura frequencies of the body extends out 2 inches. Okay? During this time, you use up 80% of your nutrition. Your brain is 90% more active at night when you're asleep than when during the day. You're using most of your brain. Daytime, you use about 5 or 10%. Tourists use 1%. But they only have 5% capability next to a normal person anyway. Because the brain goes to sleep if you don't keep using it all the time. And tourists never use it. They just tour. So what happens is you got this field right here and all this is going on. Then what happens is the triple warmer meridian in your body goes to work. And the liver, the kidney, the organs, all the critical parts of your body start detoxing. Major detoxing goes on. You don't detox during the day. You tox during the day. You're breathing in carbon monoxide, tons of it, which is destroying vitamin E, coagulating your blood, giving you future heart problems, circulatory. All this shit's going on in the daytime. At night, you're cleaning up, right? But where does this energy come from? This 80% increase, the 90% increase in energy. Why? Where does it come from? Anybody know? Two places. One, first of all, it comes from the earth, from the anima mundi force of the earth. Because now you're holding still. You're not moving anymore. During the day, you're moving around and crisscrossing magnetic all day long. Body doesn't really see that force. At night, you're totally trying to tune into it. Okay? Secondly, with not having to overcome gravity anymore, the body's not producing lactic acid in the blood. The blood starts to clean itself out. So you become more receptive to it. Okay? First thing that starts to happen, boom, you get bombarded by radiation. Airplane landing with ILS, altitude measuring, radiation from satellites, radiation from cars, radiation from radio, TV transmission. So the body goes into shock and it jumps. Is that jumping sensation? Yep. That's why we sleep in pyramids, because it eliminates that. These are the things that happen in the normal course of life. Okay? But now what would happen if we line ourselves up to the magnetic field of north at night, and somebody were to come along here and shift this anima mundi force slightly like that? Now what's going to happen? Anybody know?
Different experience?
You have a different experience.
Either going to be greater or less effective.
Right, exactly. It's going to have a lesser effect on you, and you're going to start to die in your own toxins, basically. Okay? And you got to understand the complete reproductive process when you alter it. You can't clean the oil, you can't oil the wheels, like you're supposed to. They get squeaky and rusty in the whole system. The cells fall apart, the body, the nerves, the blood, everything falls apart. Okay? And if you alter this 4 degrees, and you don't acclimate to this alteration, you're going to die in 7 years. It's real simple. You're not going to be here anymore. Okay? Because your body, the Earth's magnetic field is the same. The compass still points in the same direction, the longitude and latitude relationships. The etheric field is changing. Okay? Your body has a magnetic field. I don't care if you sleep east and west or southeast by northwest. The magnetic field of your body is automatically looking and swiveling around to the magnetic field of the earth when you're not in motion anymore. But the thing that's not going to happen is, it used to, when it would light itself up, it would be ready for this perpendicular action of the anima mundi force, or the etheric force, or the etheric side, or the current side of the magnetism itself. Unless you learn how to track with this, you're going to die by the year 2000. Okay? That's what's going to happen. Now, how would you do this? This is what the Andromedans did. They came here, and they have, through these vortexes, through the intervention of time, set in motion a 4-degree shift. We're 1 degree off now. By the year 97, we'll be almost 2.5 degrees, 3 degrees off. By the year 2000, 4 degrees. Watch what happens on this planet, okay? Now, what are some of the correlating things? How does society react to that?
Well, society has their way of reacting to it.
Is the best place?
Is my magazine not in here?
Which way should your head face when you're north, south?
North.
This is what society says. Revenge of the killer microbes. Okay? Front of Time magazine. Okay? Revenge of the killer microbes.
What issue is that? What year?
This is September of 94. Very recent. Yep. And what it does is it talks about the E-coli, and mainly the Ebola, E-B-O-L-I virus that's here. Does anybody know what that is? Huh?
That's the flesh eater, isn't it?
No, that's the flesh eater. It's the E-coli, or C-coli vibration, huh?
I know the nauseous rashes and the
deep,
deathly
ulcers. I'll read it. It says, when bacteria begin to outwit antibiotics, doctors found themselves retreating in the battle against germs. Now, first of all, let's look at how this came to be. The Greys came here in the 40s, right? They began immediately to make a deal with our government, which they made in 1954 at Muroc Field, right? This is north of Los Angeles, called Edwards Air Force Base now. The deal was they would abduct human beings, only a few hundred a month was the deal, and they would get sanctuary, so they were allowed to stay here. They would give us the knowledge of weaponry and the knowledge of propulsion systems in exchange for sanctuary and abduction privileges on humans. And they would provide lists to the Central Intelligence Agency at Langley on the individuals that were going to be abducted. As the relationship between the aliens and the government grew, the aliens began to tell the government that they created Jesus Christ through genetics and proceeded to do a holographic demonstration, which all extraterrestrials can do, on one of their ship receivers, which is like a TV set with four dimensions. And they said that, you know, the earth has to be depopulated. There's too many people here. They brought up the amount of souls, and they went through the whole limbo thing like I did with the government. And they said, we got to eliminate people here. And so the government decided to, through the knowledge of the environment, orchestrate this giant program, which became known, officially printed in the Executive Intelligence Review magazine in 1981, available out of Washington, D.C., funded by the LaRoche Foundation. They admitted in the March of 81 issue that there was such a thing in place, in operation, called the Haig-Kissinger Depopulation Policy. Okay? And they described Vietnam, Mao Thayan, from Japanese studies in the 50s, being a Mao Thayan exposure would cause sterility in males, stop population. So they mixed it with Agent Orange and they sprayed it all over everybody, good guys. And then the Vietnamese, you know, Ho Chi Minh was, if I had a choice, I would have taken Jane Fonda's sign, because she was right. Ho Chi Minh was right. And the French were wrong, and that's what it was—a war. It was an old feud between the French and the North Koreans, which we had no business getting involved in. They sprayed napalm, psychological warfare, all over the Vietnamese children and women, and still the population grew. Then they went into their drug operations with the Contras in Oliver North, and they went into Nicaragua and started causing unrest down there. At the same time, they brought up huge amounts of cocaine, which then funded Area 51 and all these different projects, these black box projects. In the process of doing that, back in 1960, they began to do huge genocide. They had a lot of people from the Third Reich that are still employed in the Pentagon today, conduct huge genocide experiments on society. In 1960, in Mobile, Alabama, they injected 1 million people with cancer.
With what?
Cancer. It's been in the newspapers. At the same time, they came in with alternatives 1, 2, and 3, and they built huge underground bunkers under major hotels like the Marriott in Washington and different places around the country and around the world in case of any kind of a war or confrontation with Russia, which was also doing the same thing. Further on, in 1978, they began to start the word that the ozone layer was coming down with a sickness caused by aerosol cans, which was total bullshit. And the ozone layer is being affected by the effects of high tailpipe temperatures from jets flying over in the atmosphere. There's 2,000 to 3,000 jet passenger transport planes flying in around the Earth at any given point in time, day or night, dropping billions of gallons of fuel in the atmosphere, and that's the ozone layer. So they said, and the ozone layer they also knew would affect the immune system. They made no effort to correct the problem with jet aircraft with higher propulsion systems. Matter of fact, they started hiding all these things and making cars less efficient. And so as a result of that, they began to play around with the human DNA through the input that was being provided from the Greys at a couple of bases. One at this time was Dulce, New Mexico, and in the Los Alamos labs. And they began to introduce herpes 1, 2, and 3 into our society. And then they began to introduce the AIDS vibration in. That was a mixture of, it was created at Langley. I've seen the presidential meeting laws that were conducted back in the early 70s, late 60s on that, describing a virus that would come from a bovine cattle virus, which had a tendency to cause pneumonia in cows, and a Vishnu virus, which came from sheep, which was very easy to make this cattle, when they combine it, contagious, as AIDS is, through saliva and mucus. And they created that, and they injected it into 2,000 people in 1978 in San Francisco. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the AIDS virus. Then all 2,000 of those people died. The reason they chose almost...
Well... That is the end of the first part of the series, and that will be a ongoing for several weeks now, a new seminar series for you guys to listen at bbsradio.com exclusively, unless you paid $500 or $600 to come to that seminar. And we look forward to seeing you Friday night when we have a special guest live show. Whoa, 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 whoa.